I mentioned the recent widely publicized remarks of Elpheus Doge, special advisor to the Wizengamot and long-standing friend of Albus Dumbledore's, that Skeeter's book contains less fact than a chocolate frog card. Skeeter throws back her head and laughs. Darling Dodgy, I remember interviewing him a few years back about merpeople rights, bless him. Completely gaga, seemed to think we were sitting at the bottom of Lake Windermere, kept telling me to watch out for trout. And yet, Elpheus Doge's accusations of inaccuracy have been echoed in many places. Does Skeeter really feel that 4 short weeks have been enough to gain a full picture of Dumbledore's long and extraordinary life? Oh, my dear, beams Skeeter, rapping me affectionately across the knuckles, you know as well as I do how much information can be generated by a fat bag of galleons, a refusal to hear the word no, and a nice sharp quick quotes quill. People were queuing to dish the dirt on Dumbledore anyway. Not everyone thought he was so wonderful, you know. He trod on an awful lot of important toes. But old Dodgy Doge can get off his high hippogriff, because I've had access to a source most journalists would swap their wands for, one who has never spoken in public before and who was close to Dumbledore during the most turbulent and disturbing phase of his youth. The advance publicity for Skeeter's biography has certainly suggested that there will be shocks in store for those who believe Dumbledore to have led a blameless life. What were the biggest surprises she uncovered, I ask. Now, come off it, Betty. I'm not giving away all the highlights before anybody's bought the book, laughs Skeeter. But I can promise that anybody who still thinks Dumbledore was white as his beard is in for a rude awakening. Let's just say that nobody hearing him rage against you-know-who would have dreamed that he dabbled in the dark arts himself in his youth. And for a wizard who spent his later years pleading for tolerance, he wasn't exactly broad-minded when he was younger. Yes, Albus Dumbledore had an extremely murky past, not to mention that very fishy family which he worked so hard to keep hushed up. I ask whether Skeeter is referring to Dumbledore's brother, Aberforth, whose conviction by the Wizengamot for misuse of magic caused a minor scandal 15 years ago. Oh, Aberforth is just the tip of the dung heap, laughs Skeeter. No, no, I'm talking about much worse than a brother with a fondness for fiddling about with goats. Worse even than the muggle-maiming father. Dumbledore couldn't keep either of them quiet anyway. They were both charged by the Wizengamot. No, it's the mother and the sister that intrigued me. And a little digging uncovered a positive nest of nastiness. But, as I say, you'll have to wait for chapters 9 to 12 for full details. All I can say now is, it's no wonder Dumbledore never talked about how his nose got broken. Family skeletons notwithstanding, does Skeeter deny the brilliance that led to Dumbledore's many magical discoveries? He had brains, she concedes, although many now question whether he could really take full credit for all of his supposed achievements. As I reveal in Chapter 16, Ivor Dillonsby claims he had already discovered 8 uses of dragon's blood when Dumbledore borrowed his papers. But the importance of some of Dumbledore's achievements cannot, I venture, be denied. What of his famous defeat of Grindelwald? Oh, now I'm glad you mentioned Grindelwald, says Skeeter with a tantalizing smile. I'm afraid those who go dewy-eyed over Dumbledore's spectacular victory must brace themselves for a bombshell. Or perhaps a dung bomb. Very dirty business indeed. All I'll say is, don't be so sure that there really was the spectacular duel of legend. After they've read my book, people may be forced to conclude that Grindelwald simply conjured a white handkerchief from the end of his wand and came quietly.